The content of this episode should not be confused with treatment advice or direction given from a mental health professional. Nothing contained in this podcast was made or intended to supplement or supersede relations with mental health providers or treatment. While Jeremy Levitt is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a mental health provider in this podcast. The same is considered for any professional that may appear on the show. Their views are solely their own and do not reflect any company or profession they may represent.
Welcome to Mind the Gap, where teens have a voice and parents learn to listen to that voice. Here we will talk with teens about their everyday challenges and accomplishments and learn what they are facing daily and what their needs are. As parents, we will learn valuable skills from a licensed marriage and family therapist on how to be aware of the gap in communication and close that gap. Welcome to Mind the Gap. Welcome to Mind the Gap. Thank you for always coming back and listening. We appreciate you. We want to let you know that we're going to do our very best to continue recording and speaking with teens as we navigate these difficult times that we're experiencing right now. We hope you'll be patient with us as we try and learn new programs to help have the best sound that we can possibly have. So with that, enjoy this next episode.
Okay, we'd like to welcome everybody back. We're so excited to have you. And we just want to say that we hope everybody is staying safe and healthy, and that you guys are all finding ways to get out and enjoy your family and be together through these tough times. Today, we want to talk about how to have compassion for others. Even though we're all feeling different things, it's sometimes hard to understand how somebody else is feeling, especially I know with teenagers. We're experiencing different things as our teenagers, and hopefully we can have a good chat about how to understand each other. Even though we're going through the similar things, we feel differently about it, right?
Yeah, it's really cool like we're talking about this because I think it ties into so many other topics that we've talked about so far, especially the bullying episode and maybe even the boundary episode. Like, I mean, the reason why bullying happens is there's lots of reasons, but one of the main reasons is because a lot of these kids just don't have the emotional intelligence to practice the compassion and empathy, and it's not necessarily their fault. So let's start talking a lot more to these parents and even to the teens that are listening on how to maybe start practicing that and how to start moving more of that into your life. And it's going to make a world of difference for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's really important because, I mean, if you can't have compassion towards somebody else and something they're going through, man, I think it's going to limit your relationships. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, because it's a double-edged sword. Because you can have empathy without boundaries, and then you're pushing people away because you don't want to deal with it anymore. But the lack of compassion at all, yeah, people don't want to be around somebody that just doesn't give a crap about their stuff. And it's not that, you know, I'm looking for anybody to fix my stuff, but it sure does help when I know my wife or a friend or a colleague really understands what I'm going through. I know it's not just lip service, right? Like it's actual, yeah. They get it.
Yeah. Austin, I have a question for you as a teenager. Do you find that it's hard to have empathy for other teenagers? I know you feel one way, and if you hear that maybe someone from one of your classmates or your friend feels a different way, is it hard for you to understand where they're coming from?
It's easier for me to have empathy towards most people, but for some people, I just think that they're a little crazy, honestly. And it's hard to have compassion for people that I like strongly disagree with, or if they do something that I disagree with and it results in something bad for them. My mindset's kind of like, well, I told them so, or I knew that was going to happen.
That's pretty typical for teenagers. Like, you can talk a little bit more about why that may be more difficult for Austin. Maybe we should define what empathy is. Austin, I'm interested in how would you define it? I wonder how close we are.
Just, if I have empathy for someone, it's like showing them that I understand what they're going through and that I care about what they're going through.
Yeah. And I'm going to add one more caveat in there. You have to be in a place of non-judgment to have empathy. So it's like you're walking a mile in their shoes without judgment. Because I can walk a mile in somebody else's shoes with judgment all day long, and then I'm just trying to fix, or no, you should have done this, or they should have done that, and that's not empathy, right?
No, it's not.
So you're pretty dang close, though, man. Like, just that one little thing, and you have the definition. And I like that you put the action part in it there, in there too, because there's action implied in empathy, in my opinion.
That was huge for me when you just said that, because I think a lot of times we think we have empathy for people, right? But yep. The non-judgment is such a key in that.
Yeah.
Because
that's hard.
Yeah.
For most people. But it's really not empathy without, if there's judgment in place.
I think teaching your teenagers that, man, I mean, what I loved is one of them, I've had a meeting with one of my girls' dance instructors at the beginning of the year, and she was talking about her kids and how she's raised them all differently. And the youngest one, she taught them to just, and she didn't use the word empathy, but to be kind and not be judgmental. And she says he's very different than all of her other kids because, you know, I guess you go through, maybe Soren will be my easiest child to raise because I will have messed up the other four. But yeah, kind of on that line, to like not be judgmental and not see the negative and not try and change people, just to love them for who they are.
That's really, really hard to do for a lot of people. And even, you know, we think about people outside of our little circle, how hard it is to do with them. It's hard to do with the people in our circle too. It's hard to do with their spouse. It's hard to do with their kids. It's hard to do with all of that. But when we learn how to do that, we practice that more effectively, even our relationships change. I can't tell you how many times I'm working with a parent and their kids, or a husband and their wife, and we start doing some empathy training, and it turns. I mean, the classic example in my office is, you know, a guy's done something stupid again, right? And the wife is really upset, and she's heightened emotionally. And if he can offer her some accountability and some empathy, it diffuses that situation so fast. And the same thing with our kids. You know, when my youngest son, he's 10, he's got some high emotions. I call him, he feels things hard. And it's actually a trait and a skill he's learning to use. But when I can give him some empathy, he starts to calm down and he starts to feel, I don't know what he's feeling. He's probably feeling more safe and more heard and more understood. And that diffuses the situation, and he can then start expressing more effectively what he's feeling. So it's kind of magic when we can learn how to use empathy. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's really important. I think it's something that we can learn right now, especially going through the situation that we're going through. I've had the chance to be able to talk to some friends. I have friends from all over the world because I served a mission in a different country, and I have associations throughout the world, and I've been talking to them, you know, through this situation, and they're experiencing something very similar to us, but because of their demographics and their dynamics in their home life, and not just their home life, but in the environment that they're in, they're feeling things very, very different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I'm having to try and understand where they're coming from. We have a lot more freedoms here, I think, than some of the other countries. Like one of my friends from France, they're on lockdown, and they have police policing the streets, and they will get a fine if they're caught out, you know?
Yeah,
my
grandpa lives in France, and he's got the same thing. He lives in a little town, and they're allowed to go for an hour walk once a day.
Wow.
If they're out past that hour, then they get fined.
Yeah. So I think even for our kids to understand, I know, having talked with other teenagers, they're feeling things very different. You know, like Austin, he's totally fine being out of school. It doesn't bother him. He's missing sports, but being out of school is totally fine. I talked with a girl the other day, and she's really actually missing school, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe we're going to teach Austin or our other teenagers how they can have empathy for each other, even though they're going through the same situation, but they feel differently. I think as adults, it's hard for us to do. How do we teach our kids to do that?
Well, I mean, it's never too late. I'm gonna throw that in there, but it's, the earlier we start, the better, right? And so, I mean, one thing we're gonna have to maybe delineate is There's a difference between emotion sharing and, let's call it, cognitive empathy. So emotion sharing is when you literally feel what the other person's feeling. And it makes it difficult because when we do that unregulated or uncontrolled, we tend to push people away, right? So at the very beginning, when I talked about boundaries a little bit, boundaries are super, super important with empathy. So if we can, you know, help our kids understand that we don't have to take everybody else's emotions. Because I think a lot of people, that's their definition of empathy, is they feel the need to take on other people's emotions. Well, that can actually be destructive. And I think we probably all have examples of that in our life, unfortunately, where we just take somebody else's emotions unnecessarily. So emotion sharing is different than empathy. Empathy is more like a cognitive process. We'll call it cognitive empathy. You can understand logically why the person's doing or feeling or understanding what they're doing. And then with that boundary in place, you can have a little bit of emotional empathy. But as far as teaching our kids, the reality is modeling is the best teacher in this regard. And we've talked about modeling a lot on here, but in this regard, this is the thing you do. You ask lots of questions. You know, if something, you hear a story at school about somebody came home and said so-and-so got made fun of or so-and-so tripped, best thing you can do is ask your kid questions. How do you feel like that? Or what do you think that person was feeling? How would you feel if that happened to you? What could you have done to help that person? Those are the kinds of things that are helping. Have presented this story, and I think the hypothetical story was this random girl in their class was asked to stay after school to help clean the classroom. Like, that's one of the jobs you have to do in their school, in their country, is you have to help clean the classroom. But she had something really important after school, and she was really sad that she was going to miss it, and she was crying. And they asked the kids, how do you think she was feeling, and would you help this person? And the difference between whether they would help that person or not, the only real difference was is if they qualified it, this person is your friend or not your friend. So if this person was their friend, they were more likely to help that person. But then they did something different, and they said, well, if you were in that position, how would you feel? And then they asked them the same question. The majority of them would stay after and help after they had explored their own emotions about if they were in that position. Right. So there's actual like studies done here, which is really, really cool. And it didn't matter if that person was a friend or not. The second they were able to explore their own emotions, if they were in that position, they were way more likely to actually stay after and help whether that person was a friend or not. So that's really, really important for us, I think, to understand is empathy changes behavior, I feel like.
I had an experience that month ago. I had a friend said to me, and she said, hey, I just wanted to thank you for your son who stood up for my son in a situation. And I guess her son was being teased for something that he was wearing. And my son said, well, at least he's here. We're just glad he's here, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought, gosh, it's not like I've ever sat down and tried to teach my kids about empathy. You know, I mean, I maybe in little situations, but I was glad that my son was the one not on the teasing end. It was the one on the one that was trying to defend him. And I said to him, why did you say that? And he's like, well, because I, you know, if someone was teasing me, I hope somebody would stick up for me.
Yeah.
And put me in that situation. So I think it's good, but I think it's great, like you said, to bring up those moments and talk to them about it and ask them those questions.
Well, what better time than now? I mean, there's so many things going on in the world. I mean, I don't want to expose my kid to too much news, but highlighting a few stories that might be able to help me teach these skills to my kids right now would be very, very easy. Parents, there's your homework is go find some stories that you feel okay exposing your kids to and asking them some of these questions. I had a question for Austin. Austin, high school generally isn't the most empathetic place. Would you agree with that?
I definitely would.
And we'll talk. I'm just going to talk about the reason for that for a minute, but then I have a question for you because I want your insight. The reason I feel like middle school and high school are less empathetic is actually some biology. Girls' brains, starting at 11 and 12, generally 13, it's already started. The brain's ability to, trying to think of the right way to word it, what other people are going through and to understand that in a girl's brain at that early age. And boys, it starts to raise too a little bit. But then once they hit about 13 in boys, they actually devolve in that. Their brain's capacity starts to diminish its ability to practice empathy and to see outside of themselves. They become very, very egocentric, and it generally lasts for 2 or 3 years before picking back up and going to where it should be. And so there's a reason why some of these schools in 7th, 8th, let's just say 6th to 9th or 10th grade, it's the worst, and it's because of biology. So Austin, I'm interested in what you feel like is the reason why there's a lack of empathy in high schools.
Oh, well, I have to start off by saying I agree 100% that 6th graders and like 9th graders are the worst.
They are.
They're terrible.
It's not
they only care about like popularity.
It's not because you have a brother that fits in this category.
That might be part of it. That might be part. But did you ask like why they lack the empathy?
I want to know why like high school is not the most empathetic place, and I'm interested in why you think that might be. I have my thoughts, but I'm interested in what you think.
I think it's possibly because people all fit themselves into groups. It's not like everybody out of high school, everybody's just happy with each other and everybody's friends. I mean, maybe there are some high schools like that. Not with anything of my experience, that there's like groups all around this high school. And you conform to like a little group that you're part of or what they're part of, and you lack empathy or passion, or you just don't people that aren't within your group, because they're those other people that around high school aren't even part of your life. You really don't know anything about them, their lives, who they even hang out with. So I think because you don't associate with some people like that, they'll lack empathy and won't care if like something happens to them, something bad.
I am right there with you, Austin. I think that's probably most of it. It's the whole we versus them mentality, the you versus me mentality. We don't really consider at that age what we have in common with other people outside of our own little circle, right? And they've actually done studies on that too, that the schools who foster and implement more like multicultural studies in there and really foster cultural diversity in their school and really emphasize that, they have, I think the study says they had increased empathy, compassion, happiness, and even test scores. And I think that's important, because really what's missing in what I believe and what you think is the reason, Austin, is no one's considering the similarities we have with other people. No one is.
That's true.
And we sit in judgment of other people, and we really don't consider that, you know, these people are just, you know, the same as us, maybe different backgrounds, different upbringings. But, you know, I was raised one way. I wasn't raised with a ton of money, but I can find something in 9th grade when I was, you know, not the most wealthy person in the world. I have something in common with the kid whose dad made $1 billion that year. But we get stuck in this he versus us. And some of it's cultural training. There's reasons that we don't do that. And it's just even worse in high school. So Sherry, what are your thoughts? How do you feel like we're right, or are we missing something?
Yeah. So I was just, you're talking about all this, and I'm thinking in my head, I remember Austin and Luke both in middle school, they did this step in the circle activity, or not step in the circle. Yeah. Sorry. That's something I just saw on social media. It was like across the line or something, like step across the line. Do you remember that, Austin? Challenge day, I think it's called. And if you're,
yeah, I did challenge day,
you know, grade. All these different things. Yeah. So challenge day it's called. And if your parents are this, or if you had a family member of this, or if you've experienced this and you step inside or step across the line and you start to look around and you start to see, oh, I didn't know that girl had a parent that this and this, or, you know, I didn't realize that person had the same thing happen to me. And I think it's to help bring awareness that we're all very similar and experiencing similar things, you know, and have empathy for each other. I just recently saw one that was circulating social media. It was called Step Inside the Circle or something like that. And they were at a prison And this lady was asking all these prisoners if you've ever experienced all these things. And it was at the end, these guys were saying, I had no idea, I had so much in common with the guy that I've never really talked to. I thought he was this and that. But they all had so much more empathy for each other once they realized, like, yeah, just because we look different, we act different, we all have very similar experiences like that. Yeah, you can find something in common with somebody. I mean, I grew up with not a ton. I had friends who had a lot more than I did, but we found things that we bonded with, like sports, or we like doing different activities, and it didn't matter. Some of our different lifestyles at home, we were able to bond over different things, you know? So I think it's really, really important.
I think kids are much better able to do that at their age, unfortunately, than us as adults. Like, it's a lot easier for them to see the similarities and the differences. And sometimes they're taught, I've heard this said before, but like, racism is taught, you're not born that way. And so this is kind of something that I feel like we really need to focus on more, is helping kids see similarities and having empathy for other people and really being able to take that perspective of that other person, because that's just going to be so important to them later in life. It really is. And how beautiful it is, right?
Like, yeah.
When I was growing up, I had a lot of Polynesian friends, and I've embraced a lot of the Polynesian culture into my life. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing when we can teach our kids how to do that.
I think it's so important to teach our kids about diversity and acceptance. I have a skin condition called vitiligo. From the time I was, I think, 19, when I first started getting it, I started looking very different than all my friends. You know, my skin started changing. I was very dark to begin with. I'm Native American, and my skin started turning white. And, you know, so for me, it's something that I've grown used to, but my kids have been very sensitive to the fact that I have it with their friends and with their schoolmates. You know, I would go into the schools, and Austin, I don't know if you remember this, when you were younger, I'd go into your class and help, and kids would say, hey, what is that? What's wrong with your face? Or what happened to your hands? You know? And my kids are very sensitive because they know I'm different. But I think on the flip side, they have learned to be accepting of others who are different, who look different, you know? And so hopefully that they're having empathy for others who look different. And I've seen my kids come home and say something that they were upset about, somebody saying something about somebody else who looked different. And I think because they're thinking about me and someone saying something to me because I look different, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that, and it's important for me to teach my kids that just because someone's different, we still love them. And I love that new thing is to not judge, to have true empathy and not judge them.
There is any judgment, it is not empathy. And Brené Brown, yes. I know if you guys haven't read or listened to Brené Brown, you all need to, but one of her main topics she talks about a lot is empathy. And one of her things that I love that she says, empathy without boundaries is not empathy. And so we also need to talk a little bit about boundary setting. And because if you don't set boundaries, then you're just going to take all that person's emotions and you're going to blow up and you're going to feel overwhelmed and you're going to, you know, implode. So
that's so important, because I'm just thinking about a situation, Austin. I won't get into too much details, but had a friend in middle school that Austin took on a lot of their emotions. And it was really hard for me to try and teach Austin that. I'm just throwing this out at Austin. He probably doesn't. I don't even know if you know what I'm talking about, but you took on,
I think I do,
your friends a lot of emotions, and you felt very awful and hard for this friend. And I saw it as like, there's nothing you can do to change that friend's situation. You can feel for them, but you can't take on, like Jeremy said, like you can't take on their emotion, because it, you know, it's hard to teach our children to have empathy, but not take on that emotion.
And it's okay to feel it, you know, because I think we can all identify with something in ourselves that person is going through, but we can't own it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I guess it's maybe, how do we teach our children to say, maybe they have a friend that comes to them and, I don't know, saying they're in the situation and you're feeling empathy for them, but you can't solve it. You know, you can't take it on and try to be the rescuer, but to feel empathy and be there for them and show them love without judgment.
Yeah. Love is the right word there, right? Like clinically they'd call it compassion. Like there's this idea called compassion training that has a lot of use. Like people who do compassion training see results after just one day. And that just looks like, you know, if you think about it, I guess the easiest way for me to explain it would be on it from a spiritual perspective, you know, praying for that person is compassion training. It's, you know, visualizing them happier, you know, visualizing them getting through it, visualizing, even saying, you know, they're going to be strong and they're going to be through it. They're going to be safe. They're going to get through the suffering. You know, just one day of that in studies they've done in adults has shown significant improvements in their ability to help other people and understand other people. It also decreases. So there's these secondhand emotions. Like when we do things like that, they've actually seen it not, trying to think of the right way to word it. The pain, secondhand pain, I guess is maybe a good way to put it, right? Like that decreases as we continue to do things like that. We focus on maybe even the person's strengths is a way to focus on it and love them and pray for them and meditate for them and send them your positive energy. The thoughts and prayers thing that some people get up in arms about, stop sending thoughts and prayers. No, send your thoughts and prayers because it's changing you. And it's not necessarily even helping the person. It's changing your brain patterns and your brain structures. And it's really, really a cool tool. So that's something else we can, you know, talk to our kids about. And that compassion training is, you know, helping them talk positive about it and helping them, you know, yeah, this situation sucks, but this, you know, John is a strong person. He's going to get through it. I have another question for Austin. Austin, do you remember any books or movies that you read or watched that really helped you like feel compassion or empathy towards the characters?
Let me think about that.
I know. I mean, watched The Good Dinosaur. He cried.
Oh, I love that movie.
He felt sorry for the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt for characters in movies and I've like rooted for them, but I don't get too emotionally attached to books or movies to the point where I'm like crying or really care if bad happens to the character. There have been times where I got sad though because I did get a little emotionally attached, like Rue from Hunger Games.
Oh yeah,
that part hit me when she died, the spear.
Yeah,
yeah.
So was it? Yeah, you were feeling for Rue, but were you feeling? What's that main character's name? Cat. Were you feeling her stuff too?
Yes.
Were you having empathy for Cat?
Yeah, definitely.
Sherry, did you have any?
Yeah. For sure. We watched that movie together. That was a hard moment. We're like, oh man.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That leads us to another teaching tool is books and movies. One, just watching it and asking your kids questions about how do you think that character is feeling, right? That is one of the best tools ever. And there's some really good books out there. Like right now, Grapes of Wrath. I remember reading that a long time ago and think it was boring, but right now it's hitting me, right? Like, oh man, I might know a little bit about what those people were feeling, a little bit, not even close to what it completely is. But so there's really good stories and books and legends and family stuff that we can share with people that can help teach compassion and empathy. And I think that's the purpose of a lot of those stories, is to increase compassion and empathy. I think one of my favorite ones is, if you ever seen the movie Life is Beautiful? It's an Italian movie, right? And it takes place in Auschwitz and Schindler's List and some of these World War II.
We watched it at Christmas.
Yeah, Holocaust-type movies are just, they are so useful. So parents, you know, look for those opportunities too. You know, recently, I'm probably going to get hate mail for this, but I really want my kids to understand the significance and the severity of war, right? And I want my kids to understand the emotions that go along with it, because I don't want them ever to be that person that's like, let's just go to war, right? I hear that way too much. Like that, yes, it's necessary sometimes, but I want them to have empathy for the people that have to go do it and the people that it's affected by. So I let my kids, well, my oldest son, he's 14, watched 1917 a couple weeks ago, because that movie is really good at like tugging at your heartstrings and helping you connect and feel with what these people are doing. So look for the opportunities, guys. Look for the ways you could help your teens connect, and then ask questions. It's not good. It's good to let them watch it or read it, but then you got to ask questions too.
Yeah, I took the girls. We went to France this last summer, and we went to Omaha Beach. Mm-hmm. And they show a little video there before you go to the memorial, you know, and the girls were watching this video, and their eyes were being opened up to what had happened to Omaha Beach. And then we went out there and we saw all the crosses that represented each soldier. They thought it was really interesting. There was, most of them were crosses, but then there were legends, and there were a few different religious crosses, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun for me to be able to share some of our history and what they went through. And it made a huge difference for them. It wasn't just a story anymore. They actually saw it. They were there, and to watch a video and then to see the crosses. Yeah. So I think that's really important. I wish I did more of that. I think my dad is a huge history buff, and he actually was a history major. And so I know a lot of history, but I haven't taught my kids a lot of history, but that's really important, because I think it does teach a lot of empathy.
Let the older ones watch 1917. It's amazing.
Yeah, we do enjoy those. It is teaching. I think it's hard for some of my family who is not of my same cultural background, because I'm Native American. And I think it's hard for some of my family, my friends, who saw me being raised as white. I was raised in a white traditional home, I guess I should, you know, we call it. I wasn't raised with the cultural background of all my Native family, because my mom was adopted when she was young. And so, but I still have those feelings, because I've studied my history. I've studied my mom's history, and I have emotions and feelings from all of that. But if I try to explain myself to some of my family who doesn't understand where I come from, I think they have a hard time having empathy for me, because they don't know a lot of the history. So I think history is very important, so that we can have empathy for others and compassion for others. You know, I just met my great aunt, and she was telling me stories about my great grandmother, who would go to school. She was forced to go to white American school, and she wasn't allowed to speak her language. And if she did, she was whipped. You know, so now I'm learning this history of my great grandmother, and I'm taking that in. And I was trying to share that with, you know, a family member the other day, and they just weren't understanding that, because it wasn't their background. It wasn't their family. Yeah. And so I think it's important for us to learn to have empathy without judgment with others, because I love that, because we can have empathy, but as soon as you start judging that person, their situation, it goes away. Yeah. And the person on the receiving end, you feel that.
Yeah.
You know, you feel the lack of sincerity when there's the judgment comes in.
Absolutely. And that's why you're 100% right. When we share stories and when we share history, when these schools are really focused on multiculturalism, it is highlighting all the things that we have in common, right? All of my experiences are not the same as your experiences. But if we were to start comparing stories about how we were raised, we would find tons of things that we have in common. So super
important. And I think it's really important, especially with what we're going through right now. We're all going through the same thing, and let's have empathy for somebody if they're feeling a different way.
We don't have to agree, right?
Right. Because we're not going to agree.
No. Well, if we do, someone's lying, because we're not going to agree on everything. So Austin,
right.
Where do you see... If you know, we're going to wrap this up here, but in high school, where do you see like the biggest room for improvement? Like, where do you see empathy struggling the most? Is it because of the cliques? Is it a racial thing? Is it a socioeconomic thing? Like, where do you see people really struggling to find empathy for other people?
Well, I am able to tell that there's a huge difference in people that have empathy towards a certain culture or race or class or things of like that nature. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that people that, like, let's say we're reading about the Holocaust, that some of the Jewish kids in class will definitely be paying more attention to that. Or like for me, an example for me is that whenever they talk about the Native Americans, like, all of that stuff that was going on, like getting kicked out of their land and stuff, like the Trail of Tears. Like, yeah. That hits me a lot harder than it probably hits the kid next to me that isn't even paying attention to the lesson.
So I love that you brought that up. There is a lack of empathy. Some of it biology, some of it's taught. I think we have some type of moral obligation to help those people, and it doesn't mean we fix it for them, but we have a moral obligation to share our experiences and to share our thoughts. Now, whether they take that and internalize that and use that is up to them, but I think we have some moral obligation to share, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think open communication is great.
I think that even though you're talking about the steps to empathy, that you have to be understanding and non-judgmental. And I think understanding is a big part, but even if you don't understand, having that empathy anyways and just trying to understand. And if you don't, then just not judging them anyway and still having empathy regardless of whatever you believe or whatever you don't get it.
Perfect. That's perfect, Austin, because that's still empathy. Being able to say, like, I don't know what that feels like, but I'm willing to sit here with you and feel it with you is empathy. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Austin, because I think that's important for all of us to learn. Doesn't matter what age we're in or where we're at in our life. And I think admitting that, saying, yeah, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to be here for you. I think that's really important. And I think what I learned today is I've just loved how you broke it down. Having empathy is caring and having compassion for somebody without being judgmental, because I think we do that. And I think if we can just stop judging and start loving, we'll have a better world.
That's true. That's awesome.
Like it.
Good episode, guys.
Okay. Thanks for another day.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like to reach out to us, we can be found on Facebook at mindthegap-teenstalkwelisten or on Instagram at mindthegap.welisten.